everyone, and welcome to another episode of No Filter with Kobo podcast. It's very nice to be here again in one of the last episodes of 2023. We chose a very special topic for today. We're going to talk about nails. There's a lot to talk about this wonderful and colorful world. So I don't want to waste any time, and I want to start introducing our guests. Well, ladies first, I want to introduce Erin McGovern, marketing coordinator at Kobo and also a nail enthusiast. She's always showcasing new colors and new effects with her nails, and I'm sure she'll have many insights for us today. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Gabby. I could not let you guys do an episode on nails without me, so I'm super excited to be a part of this one.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here today. Also with us, Francisco Pichardo is Kobo's account manager. Francisco has worked for many years in the nail care market, and hopefully he'll share some of his knowledge here today. Hi, Francisco.
Hello, Gabby. Very glad to be here. Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Yeah, it's very good to have you here for the first time, Francisco, in our podcast.
Thank you.
Well, let's start this conversation. The nail care market is very big and incorporates many types of products that can help, you know, treat, color, embellish our nails. Erin, can you give us some examples of products that would fit into the nail category?
Sure. So the world of nails and nail products really just continues to grow, I think, exponentially every single year. I mean, the days of just having to choose what color nail polish you want are far, far behind us. There really are so many options now. You can go to a nail salon today and get gel polish, acrylic powder, builder gel, gel X, dip powder. There's so much more. And there's even endless different types and colors of each of these options as well. And also at-home nail care has really been huge since the pandemic, when nail lovers had no other option but to do their own nails. So I've been seeing a lot of high-quality press-ons in stores. And lastly, I think nail care products like cuticle oils, like to nourish and protect the nails, have really been having their moment as well.
Yeah, sure. There are many, many options. And definitely we're seeing more and more products in the markets in a huge variety of colors as well. Erin, I have another question for you. Since we know that something that really moves the nail care market are the trends, especially with social media now, we're seeing new effects, new shades go viral every day. What do you see are the biggest trends nowadays?
Nail art trends are always changing, just like fashion trends. I feel like they all recycle though. Mm-hmm. So probably at the top of the ranks right now, I would say are chrome nails. I've been seeing chrome in every single color. They've been trending for probably over a year now, which I think is pretty good for a trend in my opinion, but that's definitely the strongest trend right now. And very similar to this, there's velvet nails and metallic nails. I think both of those have been pretty popular. And all of these are really just glitters and pearls with different shades and different particle sizes. So they're all very similar to each other. Other than that, I've also been seeing a lot of fun nail art. Abstract nails have really been popular with like a lot of squiggles or colors, anything really that's outside the box and not just your typical plain manicure. And for colors, as far as colors go, I feel like these cycle in and out very quickly, and they typically move with the seasons for the most part. For example, right now, red is number one for the holidays, and blues are probably going to come in for January. The spring will bring pastel, summer we'll see bright colors, and then jewel tones for the fall, like always. I just got my Christmas set yesterday, and I got red nails, and I did a reflective glitter. So again, another type of glitter that is just super trending right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they look amazing.
Those are great trends. I wish I could show you guys them.
Yeah, I might want to test the chrome nails. I think they're super cute. I want to try that one for the holidays.
Definitely, you should do like a red or maybe a green.
Yeah. Well, another thing we mentioned a couple times already are the variety of colors and shades that you can find. And there are so many that it could be even difficult to choose from. And from a formulator point of view, I'm sure that it's not easy to create that many colors. Francisco, let me bring you into the conversation as well. And I want to have your opinion on if you have any tips for the formulators on how to develop that many shades.
Okay. Well, I think for nail polish, this is probably one of the most interesting points. You know, the one of the reasons why nail polish is such a challenging for formulators, and at the same time is so exciting, is because of the broad range of colorants that they are able to use in their systems. Virtually every FDA approved colorant for cosmetics in general can be used in nail polish. Gives you a sense of the broad available options that the formulator has. The formulators can use organic dyes or lakes, the pigment metal oxides like iron oxides or titanium dioxides to improve coverage. In addition, they have at their disposal the effect pigments, you know, normally called pearls, which provide many special optical effects. The formulator have the choice of selecting any one of those pigments by themselves, you know, as powders. They can be treated or untreated, or they can be predispersed in appropriate solvent. As a matter of fact, Kobo offers most colorants with the suitable treatment on them that will be compatible with most commonly used nail polish bases. Similarly, we offer a comprehensive portfolio of pearls, plain or treated, for ease of incorporation in the nail polish formulas.
Well, Francisco, that's very good to know, very interesting point of view to know that, you know, there are multiple options. And I want to take your one thing that you mentioned. You said that Kobo can offer those pigments that are compatible with mostly common used nail polish bases. When you say that, I imagine you're talking about that regular solvent nail base polish.
That's correct.
But what about those water-based ones? I know there are some in the market, and they can be very different in terms of formula structure than the solvent regular nail polish. Can you give us some insight about this market of water-based products?
That's actually a very good question and very relevant today, I think, because of safety and regulatory concerns. You know, formulating water-based nail polish have always been a difficult task, you know, mainly due to poor adhesion to the nails of the latex type of systems that are typically involved that are water-based. And also the drying time, which is so critical for a good, well-setting nail polish on the nail. Another interesting challenge of those systems, the nail polish, is the challenge of extending the pigment in water. They're very difficult to make the pigments that are available homogeneous and balanced in terms of color. You know, even though water-based systems have not had a broad success, we still can find niche applications where water-based systems are superior. You know, for instance, for short-term use and limited wear, you know, like for instance, peelable nail polish, you know, water-based systems are probably most appropriate. Or when nail polish are going to be used by children, you know, typically you want them because the safety concerns are paramount in those applications. Those are examples of applications where hydrophilic systems will be better. If you take a look at the leading nail polish in the market today, though, virtually every one of them every one of them is based on traditional solvent-based using nitrocellulose or similar polymers and the normal acetate solvents.
Well, Francisco, thanks for that. I agree with you. You know, there is a place for the water-based nail polishes, and they could be interesting in a way. Now, Erin, I want to go back to you because I have a question about a type of effect that we see on nails and also that you mentioned on the trends, the glitter effect. Most of the nail polishes with glitter nowadays, they use polyethylene terephthalate, which is the glitter that we all know. But the issue is that this product is considered a microplastics, and microplastics are being banned in Europe. Does Kobo offer any option to have the same type of glitter effect, but being more sustainable and not being a microplastic?
Yes, we do. The effect that the plastic glitter offers is really unique with a high shine, but at Kobo we have some synthetic mica with extra large particle sizes that go all the way up to 1 millimeter in some cases that will also offer superior shine with that glitter effect. These are from our K-Ray line, and we have so many color options from white, gold, copper, and bronze to the interference tones of red, blue, green, and violet. And Kobo's application labs have tested these pearls into nail polish bases, and they offer a beautiful effect and a really nice feel after the nail polish dries. So I think these are perfect for the tons of different glitter looks that I mentioned are trending right now.
Yeah, that's very good to know. I love those glitter nail polishes that AppLab created.
Me too.
Well, there is another type of product that are for nails that we haven't talked much yet, but they're very important for the health and appearance of our nails. I'm talking about the serums, the moisturizers, the cuticle care products. Francisco, which raw materials from Kobo would you recommend for this type of formula?
For formulas that are designed for the care of the nail and the cuticles, We offer very effective moisturizing ingredients. We in particular, we have a line of plant-based lanolin replacement called Plandul, which we believe are very effective in softening the cuticles and a very good skincare ingredient in the sense that they can moisturize and make the nail cuticle more supple. In this line, we offer many different variations to meet viscosity requirements. We have the Plandul H, G, the LG series, and the MAS. These should be easy to incorporate in serum or lotion type of formulas to soften and treat the cuticles. If you want to deliver a skin active to this to ingredients, you know, like retinol or hyaluronic acid or natural extracts, we have a system called Glycosphere, which these are essentially encapsulates that where we can put those actives in and deliver it as in a serum or lotion to the nail and the surrounding areas. One interesting product, I think, in this context is the Sun Boost ATB that we have. We have a Sun Boost ATB natural, which is a blend of argan oil, bisabolol, and vitamin E. This product is very effective at reducing redness and conditioning the skin. Consequently, it would be an ideal product to actually treat the various issues that a lot of consumers have around the nail, the skin part around the nails, the cuticles, that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those great options with Cisco, honestly. And I want to comment actually on the Sun Boost ATB. I think it's a really nice product for the cuticle care, especially if you're going for like oil type a product. I also recall a different formula that our app lab in Brazil made a couple of years ago, the KNP0005ABR. It also has the Sand Boost. It's more type of cream formula, and the Sand Boost really helps, you know, nourishing and hydrating the cuticle of the nail. So really nice option.
Yep.
And Francisco, to finish up our conversation, we know that the nail polish have changed a lot, you know, in the past years. There were a lot of changes in the formulas and the types of ingredients that we've been using. Can you talk more about those changes? And also, how do you see the future of the nail products?
Wow. It's interesting that you referred to major changes in the nail polish category. You know, actually, much of the big changes that have been that have occurred in this area has been in the marketing aspect of the business, not necessarily in the formulation of or technical aspect of the business. I mentioned earlier that the majority of the formulations today, at least the leading mass market brands, still are based on nitrocellulose or similar polymers or blends containing nitrocellulose. They still use the acetate solvents, ethyl, propiol, and butyl acetates primarily. Today, you know, nail polish is made the same way it's been made for decades, you know, with a few players dominating the market, at least from the manufacturing end of things. True, you know, over the years, the industry have been able to respond to major regulatory challenges, you know, initially getting rid of the toluene and formaldehyde resins that were commonly used, and we brought along the epoxy resins and the use of safer solvents. A major achievement was being able to get rid of the phthalates. As you know, virtually no major manufacturer of nail polish nowadays plasticizes the nitrocellulose with any one of those phthalates that were found many for many years in nail polish. Frankly, you know, down the road, I think there is still hope for a polymer to come along that could replace nitrocellulose. As far as I know, you know, nitrocellulose continues to be the workhorse for the formulators. Also, I think the dream is still alive of someday an effective water-based system will come along that will address the major drawbacks of today's aqueous systems and eventually do away with the solvent-based systems. You know, I am still hopeful. So I think this pretty much kind of summarizes the hopes for the future in nail polish, I think.
Yeah, I really like your hopes. That would definitely be very interesting if we could maybe replace nitrocellulose, but keep the same type of performance that I think consumers will not give up. You know, they still want that nail polish that lasts for weeks. So if we could have something that could replace NC but still keeps that performance, I think that would be the goal. If it's natural, even better. But maybe I'm dreaming too much.
But it's good to dream.
Yes. Well, guys, we reached the end of our episode. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Gabby.
Thank you, Gabby. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, it was good to hear from the both of you. And thank you for listening to us. If you want to know more about this topic or the products we discussed, check out the link in the description of this episode. Don't forget to follow us on social media, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform that you're listening to us. We still have a last episode in 2023 with my dear colleague Elsie Alvarado with the formula of the month for December, but I want to take the opportunity to wish you all happy holidays and see you next year in 2024.